podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, Night Nation. I'm Trey Strokel from the Sons of UCF, joined by Eric Lopez of the Black and Gold Banneret. Welcome to Around the Kingdom. Elo, hello.
Hello, Trey. Coming up on the fastest UCF show around, more expansion of the postseason in college basketball, maybe football. We'll go, what? Plus, we now know where Trace could be traveling to cover UCF football games in years from now. We'll break that down. Plus, why am I going to go to Oklahoma City this week? We'll break all that down on the fastest UCF show around the game.
Before we get going with all that, let us welcome in the third member of our team, Adam Eaton from the Sons of UCF. Keeps an eye on the clock, keeps us on our toes. Adam, hello.
Greetings, gentlemen. Happy May to both of you. April showers bring May flowers. I hope your May is full with flowers, both of you.
Thank you, Adam. Before we start that travel log, as you previewed, let's talk a little roster management for UCF football. The portal has closed, Elo. What's the net? Do you think UCF has finished ahead in this cycle?
Well, time will tell how they play on the field, but boy, they made a lot of moves and made some impactful moves, which makes you wonder, Trace. Here's my question to you as somebody who covered the spring. What was the point of covering the spring? Like, what did we learn? We got new roster players. We're going to probably have competition once we get to the fall, Trace, but it's just astonishing how many different moves were made in the spring. You get add more depth to the running back position. You add a quarterback. On the one hand, it's you know, you want to have depth. On the other hand, you're asking yourself, is this because maybe they felt that, you know, were we not that good in the spring? Or what? How is all this going to fit? I think this is still to be played out.
Well, then you saw where some of the former players landed and some still searching for spots. On paper, at least, it feels like UCF is stronger than where they were coming out of spring. Of course, it's all on paper. I guess the bigger question, Elo, is coming out of this spring, do you feel better about where they were coming out of the spring than where they were in that loss in the bowl game?
You better. I mean, you definitely have to, right? The expectations are going high, Trace. I know you don't like it, but with these additions they've made, especially offensively, I think the anticipation for this offense will be through the roof. Maybe the most anticipated offense since Mackenzie Milton's last year, as it turns out. Trace, would you not agree with that, considering all the pieces they now have added to go along with what they already had?
Well, certainly with the big one being KJ Jefferson, they're right there comparing him to John Rhys Plumlee. It gives Gus more of what he wanted at the quarterback position. I think a transfer that came in late that has UCF fans talking is quarterback Ja'Kari Brown, who transferred to UCF from Miami. Now, is that a one-to-one in replacing Timmy McClain? Again, time going to tell on that.
As I'll quote the great UCF Mike, who is a beloved fellow Florida Panther fan, go Panthers, just tell me what the roster looks like in August, and then we'll see what happens. Let's get to August, please. But hey, future August from now, some future scheduling announcements came by with UCF football. We now know some of the matchups down the road, some interesting trips. Hey, North Carolina's back on the schedule. We'll see if that happens. Northwestern, a home and home. Shout out Philip Rossman, right? Highlighting some of the notable dates. But Trace, question I have for you. Did Danny White leave UCF in a tough spot by not inking more future contracts now that we kind of see what Terry Mohajer had to do?
I have never been in the camp that said that Danny White left him high and dry. I know Terry Mohajer complained about that when he came into the job, but also UCF then moved into the Big 12, and you don't need as many difficult games. You know, they've added a Maine in there. They've got a Sam Houston State. So, you know, that FCS game, an easier game against a Conference USA foe, and then higher profile games. You mentioned them, Northwestern, Pittsburgh. They got North Carolina. They've got the Florida in the future. I think it all came together. I think the 9-game schedule, which rotates obviously between 5 at home, 4 on the road, and reverses, I think it's plenty hard for UCF as it saw in its first season in the Big 12. I don't think Danny White left him in the lurch. I think it meant that Terry Mohajer had to do some work that, you know, he would have liked to have had that schedule built out. But if they had built it out the way he would have liked, right, at some point they would have had to buy out some games, move some games around because of that 9-game conference schedule.
Well, certainly the Big 12 maybe helped kind of, you know, close some doors, you know, some spots that maybe was really, you know, hurting there from a scheduling standpoint. You said, did you just say Northwestern and Pitt is excited? Like, how would you describe? Which one are you looking forward to on that trip of all those games?
Probably more Northwestern now because that's a trip to Chicago.
Yeah, not because of the
football. I've been to, but yeah. No, not so much for the football, but I think it's the locale. I think especially when you compare Manhattan, Kansas, and some of the Lubbocks and these things, I think when you get some of those higher profile opponents, fans are interested in traveling to.
That's a fantastic point. Let's get some cool cities for non-conference because, well, we're not going to get that in the football at all.
At some point, though, there'll be a return trip to Boulder, but it is Colorado on the schedule in the fall and the bounce house. Making a lot of news, Deion Sanders continues to roil things up. But I ask you this, Elo, is Colorado, Deion Sanders, the villain the Big 12 needs as it goes into the fall? Because they are certainly villainous on the college football landscape at the moment.
Yes, I think, and it's great for the Big 12. You want to bet Colorado's going to be a lot of primetime slots in that Big 12 TV deal this upcoming year? You watch. I would not be surprised if UCF, for example, in Colorado, that's a primetime game for one of the networks. He delivers ratings. He is somebody that's polarizing. It remains to be seen if he will be successful or not at this level, but he does bring some intrigue and some spice to a conference that otherwise you wonder what is the identity of this conference. I think people in this new Big 12, what are people, the casual fan, going to go watch from the Big 12? I think Colorado's at the top of many's list.
What inspired this topic was a comment from at Drew B NYC, Drew Milani, saying, love it or hate it, the Big 12 needs the Deion story. UCF needs a good Colorado team to come to the bounce house. I think you saw a tremendous interest in Colorado off the start of the season. And as they tailed off, that interest waned. UCF, that's the hottest ticket for the season on the schedule, is that Colorado game at this point, right? I think it would be a good opportunity for the networks. You know, I'm not throwing out game days or the big noon Saturday or all of that, but maximum interest in that is a good or competitive Colorado team, not one getting the doors blown off.
Listen, Adam and I are already planning on camping out for that big noon kickoff here for UCF Colorado. Hang out with Urban Meyer and Rob Stone and company. Let me ask you this. With Colorado and Deion Sanders, do you think – are you skeptical of him like many are, or do you think –
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You got family.
They went from what my nephew goes to, University of Colorado Boulder. They went from one win to four. Let's see if he can get him to six, bowl eligible, seven, and be more competitive. Turning over your entire roster doesn't work if you don't also win games after you do so. So I remain skeptical of Deion. Wow. We'll see what he does this coming season. But I agree with Drew. They need a better Colorado when they arrive at the bounce house.
Sounds like a big divide there in your family there. Come that Colorado UCF game. Could be some negative. Hopefully it all works out for you in the family side there. You know what could help Colorado? Expanded playoffs. Maybe not in football it will help him as much. Maybe as in basketball. Brandon Marcello tweeted out and talked about how Big 12 coaches are in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament. Commissioner Brett Yormark says after the conference spring meetings in Scottsdale, Arizona. By the way, beautiful place to go golfing is in Scottsdale. Good choice there. Trace, to expand or not expand for the NCAA tournament?
You know, that's such a tough one. I've spoken to UCF head coach Johnny Dawkins about this topic. And when you look at it as a percentage of the total number of schools that are playing basketball, that field, right, is very small, relatively speaking, considering how many teams make it into bowl games and other postseason. But March Madness is fine just the way it is. And you know they want to wreck it, right? They're already talking about expanding the opportunities for the big power schools to get in. It's something that's not broken that they want to fix, but I do understand it from the point of view that the percentage of schools that are making a postseason tournament could go higher.
The reason Brett Yormark and would be in favor of it is the larger the size of the tournament, the more teams from the Big 12 get in. And quite frankly, that helps UCF. That does help UCF, Trace. Let's be real. It's not easy getting into the tournament for the UCFs of the world at the current landscape. But, man, do we have to mess with everything? You know, we already did it with football, you know, 2 to 4. Now we jump to 12. Maybe we're going to go 14. We'll go to 32. Let's just get, who knows? Basketball, I'll live with this. If they decide to go to 72, where you have playing games the first round, and that's it. I'm good with that, but I have a feeling they're going to get greedy, go to 90-some teams. And, you know, at that point, why watch the regular season, Trace? What's the point of the regular season at that point?
Just print money, right? That's what they want. The bulk of those TV contracts are made up, right, during March Madness. It's not during those regular season Saturdays and Tuesday nights on ESPN+. So follow the money, Elo, which segues nicely into this next story. Talk of a revenue-sharing model. This is where it's heading, isn't it, right? That they're going to take those TV dollars, reinvest them. The players have already shown that they're going to make their dollars. It's funny now. We're going to look back. NIL a couple of years ago was selling a T-shirt, doing an appearance at a restaurant. It's evolved into this now with the fans fronting the money for player salaries, right? And now we're moving into a revenue sharing model. When we talked last week about NFL commissioners saying, would they take on organizing college football? They've got their minor league in place right now, and it's coming together even more so with the revenue sharing talk.
My only question about the revenue with the money with the TV deals, I wonder if some point does this run out for college athletics? I think we're slowly seeing sports going more streaming, right? Like there's rumors, reports that the NBA, for example, part of their package is going to go to Amazon. We saw the MLS, a sport you know very well, has gone exclusive to Apple. I just wonder at some point, does this run out for college football, maybe in a decade or so if the money's there? But yeah, I think you're right. We're probably headed to some revenue sharing, whether it's from the TV contract or maybe it's something, for example, where, you know, certain players get a piece of the pie, you know, from the gate at bowl games, things like that. That's something that people have wondered about, or maybe the playoff money, because I think there's a lot of perceptions that players are going to play 3-4 extra games because it's the playoff. And I'm not buying that. I think players at some point are going to say, why am I going to put my body to play in 3-4 extra games and hurt my draft status? I think that's something to watch, Trace. I think we might see guys skipping playoff games, which I know sounds crazy, but what are they getting out of it? And I think that's where you might see some of this revenue sharing.
There's a lot of flux. You study the TV sports industry, a lot of flux, cord cutting, move to streaming. You see this with the regional sports networks, the impact on the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. Those dollars aren't the way they used to be. People are not paying for the cable packages the way they used to. So the dollars remain uncertain, but they're going to still make a lot of money. And I think to your point there, the players are going to say, what's in it for me down the stretch in those playoffs and those bowl games? They're talking this week also about expanding the number of bowls. They don't even have enough teams to qualify for the ones that they have. All about money, Elo.
Oh, but can't wait for that Sons of UCF bowl game. They're coming down the road here. But perhaps players will get representation as to help them broker some of this revenue sharing deal. UAB becoming the first Division I football team to join a players association. That was out in an ESPN story, Trace. Isn't that the other avenue we're going to eventually have, where players are independent contractors or represented? And I don't know, they call it pro sports.
Yeah, maybe that's where we're headed. I think we saw this, a couple years ago, an organized effort. It was Northwestern, right? Did not work, but now UAB behind this. You can see the makings, right? So you got the revenue sharing model, you got the players organizing. You just talked about it. What's in it for the players, especially one that's going to be a high draft pick in the NFL draft, risking an injury, and the length of the season now stretching out? They're not dropping bowl games to accommodate this. They're not dropping kickoff week zero games. They're just expanding that schedule, right? The NFL is playing a 17-week schedule. They're talking about going to 18 with two preseason games. College now, how many games do you end up playing? 15, 16 games on a college student's body, right? I think it's inevitable that you end up with some sort of organized labor situation on the part of students.
Well, we're focusing on football, but what if you're a baseball player, basketball player? Like, hey, you know, we're providing revenue too. So these games are airing somewhere. Where do we get our piece of the pie? And that's, again, where the union might come into play, not just for football, Trace, but the other sports are saying, hey, you know, you're taking care of football. Don't forget to take care of us, basketball players or baseball players or softball players, volleyball. That's where the union can really be a big factor. And now the schools all of a sudden might be put to the task of making sure that every sport is taken care of.
Boy, going into the distance now is just getting a college education, getting a dorm, getting a meal plan, getting the books covered, and playing a sport. Revenue sharing and unionizing.
And none of this is good for the little guy, Trace. There's no way the mid-majors, the small programs can keep up with this, Trace. It's done. I hope you're happy. You were pushing for the little guy to get this exposure, and all of a sudden you've been very quiet recently, the last couple of years.
You would like to turn that around on me. All right, time to bring back in Adam and our silly game. Adam.
People like you, Trace. All right, here we go. This week's game, I'm going to harken this back to an old game show. I'm going to be Howie Mandel without the germaphobe. We're going to play a little deal or no deal. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. I'll give you something. You tell me if you want to take this deal or if you want to turn this deal down. Eric, I will start with you. Here's the deal I'm going to make. I will guarantee you right now, no matter what happens, UCF football will win 9 games this season. 9 games, no matter what. Do you want to take that deal or no deal?
First of all, I would not take a deal about trying to be like Howie Mandel in anything. So let's put that to the side.
Whoa. Woo,
not 9 games. That's 9-3. But I'm assuming you're not going to tell me if that gets us into the Big 12.
I don't know. I know right now is we win 9 games. That's all I can give you. 9 wins.
I will say deal. Just so Trace doesn't have to say anymore, oh, we're good for 4 losses anymore. 9-3. I'll take it. Deal.
Do I get the same question or is it a different
same
question?
Same deal, Trace. Deal or no deal? 9 wins.
You're making shocked. Me there, but I'm on the record. I'm not back. This is a 4-loss team. Gus Malzahn, I take that deal. I take that deal at 9-3.
Take the deal. All right. He's taking the deal. All right. Let's go to the next one, Trace. This one starts for you. Okay, here we go. I will guarantee you. Gus Malzahn will remain the head coach of your UCF football team for the next 10 seasons, no matter what. Deal or no deal? 10 years of Gus.
No deal. No deal. No deal. That's a lot of 4-loss seasons.
What if he wins a lot? What if he wins a lot?
No, wasn't part of it. He's going to win 8 games. No, no deal.
He went back to the 8 games there. You noticed that, Adam, 8-4 again. I'm going to say no deal, but just for a different reason. I just don't know with the landscape that this college athletics is going, that any coach wants to coach in one place for 10 straight seasons. I think that's almost like 20, 30 years, in dog year or something. I think that's a long time. I don't know we're going to see that often.
Okay, sorry, Gus. All right, here's the next one. Yilo, here's your opportunity. Between men's basketball, women's basketball, softball, baseball, and volleyball, I will give you 1 national championship in the next 5 years, but the other programs will all have losing seasons every year. So you get 1 championship for one of the programs, but the other programs have losing seasons. Deal or no deal?
Do I get to pick the sport that wins the national title or?
No, it's just any one of them. It could be any one of them, Milo.
So it could be men's basketball, women's basketball, softball, baseball, or volleyball. One of those sports will win
a national. One of those 5 teams will win a national championship in the next 5 years.
I'll take a deal on that. I'll take a deal. I like to think the sport I'm involved in, who's actually going to be playing at the stadium where they decide national championships, could be the front runner of all those sports, with all due respect to the other sports. But I'll take that. Let's get a national title that's not cheerleading for a change. I'm for it.
A lot of agreement tonight. I take that deal as well. And Johnny Dawkins could do it with Last Chance U forming on the hardwood. So, I take that deal.
Wow. I see. This is a Trace Trucco special. You hate something good happening at the expense of somebody else. I figured this was going to drive you crazy.
You took that way too easy.
I mean, all right, last one, a lot of easier questions. For those who don't know, behind the scenes here at Around the Kingdom, typically when we're recording, Trace is watching his beloved Chicago Cubs right over there, his left shoulder. Elo is turning around right now to check on the Florida Panthers score. He's a big Panthers fan. So, Trace, I'll start with you. If you had an opportunity to see any one of your favorite teams win a championship on the field, so you're at the stadium, you're there to watch the actual championship moment, which game, which team would you want to see win a championship if you could be there live?
Does that include UCF or you're talking pros?
Of course it includes UCF.
UCF.
Football, UCF. Basketball, baseball.
You know what? I've seen UCF in big moments in football. I took the last deal put me on the watching men's basketball win the national championship. Okay. Okay. I might drop dead right there on the spot, but that would probably be it.
Elo, you get to see one of your teams win the national, right, win a championship. Which team do you want to watch?
I'm not going to say UCF because then that's like Trace's answer and that's not very boring. I'm going to go pro sports here, Adam, and it's real clear. It's with the team that I first grew up liking for whatever the reason, and that's the Miami Dolphins. I've seen the Heat win three NBA titles. I've seen the Marlins win World Series. The Panthers have been to the Stanley Cup final. Maybe this is the year, although they're losing to Boston, Mike. How do you answer to that, UCF, Mike? You better have some answers on that we're going to be fine. But I'm going to go Dolphins. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 73. I'd like to see them back in the Super Bowl, Adam, in my lifetime. I would go to that.
I'm going to miss you, Elo.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Check back with you in a few. All right, Elo, we got to start speeding up. Prop bets. Emptiness. Michael says that no inning softball baseball went more than 30 minutes. You're on a roll now. You were down at 12-10. Now you lead 14-13. What's this week's prop, Elo?
All right, I'm going to give you one. This is the last home weekend. It's Texas, biggest brand in college, one of the biggest brands in college baseball, Trace. Will UCF baseball attendance be over or under average per game, 2,500? And Mike, our good friend Mike, who covers UCF baseball, will count every person to make sure it's an accurate number for us.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You mixed that up on me. I'm going to go with the over because I think Texas will bring a strong contingent. So I'm going to go with the over. That's a lot, though, because they tail off a little bit on Sundays. Friday's usually strong. Weather looks fine. I'll go with the over.
Remember, average for the three-game series, or if it gets rained out, two-game series, we'll average the number. I will go barely under. But I hope you're right because that's a big series. Texas doesn't come to your backyard in baseball that often. This is the one time only. I hope they pack the place.
Gotcha.
That'd be great. All right, we got big interview released on Monday, folks, on the Sons of UCF Network. Trace and Adam with an exclusive with UCF baseball head coach, former baseball head coach Jay Bergman. Very extensive interview. Strongly recommend you check it out. Take some time. A lot of interesting points there. Trace, having now talked to Jay Bergman over an hour, does your opinion on Jay Bergman and his legacy, what is it now after talking to him and what it should be?
You know, what's interesting is that it didn't change after the interview. I went in thinking that his legacy on the field, 26 plus years at UCF, winning as baseball coach, right, built the program, great deal of success, arguably, right, have not achieved that level of success since he left. How he left with some clouds, right, has diminished his legacy. I think the interview was interesting. The conversation was interesting. I think the talk should be maybe a conversation about when he should be in the UCF Athletics Hall of Fame, because he is certainly not as of yet. And this is a program, a Hall of Fame, that has now put Gene McDowell in. We changed the rules to allow Gene McDowell in. And, you know, George O'Leary's got a complicated legacy, and he as well is in the Hall of Fame. So what's holding back the decision to bring in Jay Bergman?
I thought it was a fantastic interview. I thought you both did a great job. And I thought it was a remorseful Jay Bergman when you asked him about how it ended. He felt bad about it. I think I got a sense. He got emotional. I won't give it away. I encourage people to listen to the interview. He got emotional at times with some of the questions there. And I think it meant a lot to him that you guys reached out and talked to him because nobody's talked to him. I think he was back at the ballpark, he said, for the first time since he left in 08. I think this is a man that should be honored. You cannot write or talk about the history of UCF baseball without referencing Jay Bergman. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's time. Time has healed. Let's put him in down the road. I hope. I think he made it. He didn't run and hide from the question. And I like I said, the man's a lasting legacy. And it was great to see him back at the UCF baseball game.
Well, he's planning on being there this weekend. UCF welcomes in Texas. Won two games. Third game canceled on the road because of weather at Houston. Knights found themselves. They need to be in that top 10 in order to make the postseason conference tournament. Elo. They got Texas, and they go to Baylor. What do you think they got to do here? You'd want to win the series, but between those remaining six games on the schedule, could they do it at 3-3? Do they need to go 4-2?
I would say win the Baylor series, And if you lose 2 out of 3 to Texas, it's not great, but it's not bad either. But win the Baylor series. And good. If you can go 4-2, I mean, they were on the net. And let's put that losing that third game to Houston. If you felt they were going to sweep them, you know, you hope that game doesn't come back to haunt them that they didn't get to play it. I think you've got to win the Baylor series, preferably a sweep. And then that way Texas is a big one because Texas is a bubble team. It's a brand. Maybe you win that Texas series, puts you over the hump regardless of Baylor, but you want to make the Big 12 tournament and kind of put your step closer to making that regional.
You said Baylor, you said Texas. Hey, Elo, those are two names upcoming for softball in the postseason tournament, which you will be covering.
That is right. At Oklahoma City, weather hopefully is okay later in the week at Oklahoma City. They have some rough weather, obviously, on Monday night. But big one for UCF. 5 seed against Baylor, 4-5, late night Thursday night. Here's the big thing. They're going to play the game at the Hall of Fame Stadium. They just are named at a new marketing name, brand name sponsorship on Monday. We'll call it Hall of Fame Stadium. Why do I bring that up? That'll be the first time ever that UCF softball will play in the same stadium where the World Series is held every year, Trace. Imagine if UCF football got a chance to play at the Rose Bowl. Wouldn't you be like, whoa, fired up just to play at the Rose Bowl? We'll go watch that game in the Rose Bowl. That's what we're going to see this week with UCF softball. And it's a big game. If they can beat Baylor, I think that punches their ticket into the tournament and they can be comfortable the rest of the week. You lose the game to Baylor, it gets hairy a little bit. Could be a margin of a game here or there that could make the difference whether they're in or out. I think it's a big game for them to try to cement them into the NCAA tournament against Baylor. Pitching's going to be big. We'll see if UCF has solved the Baylor pitching, hopefully better on Thursday night than they did in Waco.
Well, a couple weeks ago in Waco, right, they lose 3 games at Baylor, but they only gave up 4 runs in that series, 2 1-0 losses in that, all 3 1-run losses, which has been a problem throughout the season. Win and they advance, and who do they get, Elo?
The number one ranked team. Yeah, more than likely the number one ranked team, Texas, who won the Big 12 outright regular season title for the first time since 2010, ending Oklahoma's 11 straight year run of Big 12 championship. Big story.
That is the biggest storyline in softball, the sport of softball, right? Oklahoma knocked down a peg or two.
Boston Bedlam to Oklahoma State. It's going to be one of the many stories this week at Oklahoma City at the Big 12 championship. Think about this, Trace. All these teams in the Big 12 this year, it's a one and done. You'll never see all these teams in the same conference ever again. Oklahoma, Texas with UCF, it may will never happen again. It's been a historical year from that standpoint, and the final chapter will be written in Oklahoma City that people will be talking about for 10 to 20 years before everybody kind of goes their separate ways.
Good luck to the Knights in the Big
Good luck to me. I'm going to be out there.
Yes, as well, you. Time to bring back in Adam. Educate us on what we may have gotten wrong or just share some knowledge.
All right, John, here we go. You talked about UCF offense. This came from On3. They have ranked UCF's running back room as the number 4 running back room in the country. So certainly, Trace, to your point, there's a lot of expectations for UCF's offense. You mentioned going to Northwestern. Another fun fact, opening a new stadium they are in 2026. UCF will be there in 2028, so we'll get a chance to play in the brand-new Ryan Field. You guys mentioned bowl games. A new bowl was announced today. You guys ready? I could probably tell you, ask you if this is true or false. This is a real bowl game. I'm not sure what you would say, but here we go. It's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. That is the newest bowl game. It's the Arizona Bowl, obviously replacing Barstool Sports. You mentioned Jay Bergman, 1,183 career wins. And Elo, I think you said the last time the Dolphins won the Super Bowl was 73. You said you want to see them get back there. They were there in 1985, if you recall, a 38-16.
I barely do. I'll take just being there for now because we haven't even sniffed it since then.
1985, last time you saw the Dolphins get mollywomped. Dan Marino's only Super Bowl. Wow. You thought he had been to a lot more at that point. It was the second year and not so much.
No defense didn't help there. Adam, you let Snoop beat you out for that bowl game, Adam. Come on.
We were second. Our bid was second, I promise. I promise.
All right, one more thing before we go. Congratulations to the nearly 10,000 new UCF alums graduating during May commencements, Elo, joining nearly 400,000 others, including you and me and Adam, with UCF degrees. Wow. And University of Miami has 12,000 enrolled students. It's crazy how quickly UCF is expanding the ranks of the alumni base. Look for new episodes midweek every week of Around the King. Drops later wherever you get your downloadable content in the podcast feed. For Adam Eaton, Eric Lopez, I'm Trace Trolko. Thanks, everyone, for watching this week's Around the Kingdom.
Sports Social Podcast Network.